God bless you. Title of my brief message this morning is The Great Unshackling. Shackling, not Shackleton. Shackling, Great Unshackling. Jesus had a little over 3 years to take a group of 12, but also the rest of the around about 120, but he specifically focused in on the 12 to shift them or to unshackle them from being earthbound, from being earthly kingdom bound, from being naturally natural minded and bound by the natural laws of this world and the natural flow of circumstances. He had to unshackle them from that realm and to teach them and to bring them into a far greater understanding of the kingdom realm, the kingdom dimensions that are part of the kingdom of God. And so earth-shaped, kingdom of this world shaped in their thinking and their mindsets, 12 men who were bound by that would not be the ones who would shift and move the world through the gospel into the experience of the kingdom of God and to bring the redemptive plan forward in his name. The world would, and the world as it was then, as is now, is in desperate need of people who are unshackled by the limitations of this world. Amen? And the bottom line is every one of us came into this world and we began to learn the ways of this world system, the ways of this world, and it's actually a very limited realm of experience. Very limited. It's limited to natural rules, natural laws, natural things, limited to the flow of circumstances and the global pressures. But I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus unshackled his 12, plus many more, in that initial stage, to see the world in a very different way, to see the kingdom of God in a very different way. I want to... The process of true discipleship is the process of being unshackled by this world just dictating everything. I'm going to unfold this a little more. The heart and mind of a person who's limited to this world's thinking is a person who finds it difficult to understand there's a great dimension of the kingdom that's available to us. I want to go to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus used circumstances of natural limitation to reveal another realm. And this realm is the realm that if you're born again, you've... And so in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, we have this situation. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had been doing and what they'd been doing. This is when they came back from their journey, one of their journeys. Verse 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. There was just so much happening. There were just so many things going on, so much happening, so many needs, so many people. In verse 32, so they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Verse 33. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all of the cities. They arrived before them and came together. This is Jesus trying to get stories of their mission trip and so on and so forth. But the people are so hungry, the people are so desperate, the needs are so great, that they recognize Jesus getting into this boat. They probably figured out where he was going, and it says from all of the towns or all of the cities. And they went to where he was going and they arrived before them. It's like going away on your great holiday, thinking you're getting away from the needful crowd, and the needful crowd is already there before you arrive. Anybody kind of get an idea of that? Verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he uses the circumstance and it says, so he began to teach them many things and decides to use the situation to teach his disciples many things. Verse 35, and when the day was now spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." This was totally the natural circumstance. This was the limitations of their thinking. This was the limitations of the natural flow of the world. People need to go and buy bread from people who have made bread. But he answered them, verse 37, but he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread, give them something to eat?" In other words, a lot of money, and, you know, how are we going to do this? Verse 30, very much a limited situation. Verse 39, and he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on green grass. Verse 40, so they sat down in ranks in 50s and hundreds and 50s. Very relevant to our situation right now. And Luke's record of this, and Luke's account of this, he only uses the term 50s. Jesus said, make them sit down in groups of 50. This is so biblical. The precedence has already been set before us. Here we are. We're in groups of 50. And for some of us, that creates such a sense of limitation. What do you mean there's groups of 50? Oh, I could say a lot of things. But when we're fixed into the, and Jesus is using the situation with a huge needful crowd to actually demonstrate a realm that is so rich with provision and so rich in power and so rich in grace and so rich in mercy, so rich in compassion, so rich in provision. And he checks that they know that this is a very limited situation. They know this. Jesus knows this. But he's going to use this to open up their understanding, to unshackle them from the limitations of being bound by natural thinking. And he's going to use this circumstance to bring his men, bring his women into a place of different thinking, different understanding, of kingdom thinking, of kingdom dimension, not just earthly limitation. And if there's ever a time when the church can actually get broken free of its limited things of the kingdom of God, if there was ever a time when Jesus can use a circumstance in our lifetime to break off that limitation and reveal a greater dimension of the things of God, it's now. So he got them to think about it, and they realized they were totally limited in this. They could not meet the need. They could not meet what these people needed. And Jesus just wanted them to know that. And they had five little loaves of bread and two fish. There's a seed. That's enough. A seed is enough, you know that. A seed is enough. One acorn is enough for a whole oak tree. One walnut is enough for a whole walnut tree. So he takes the fish, he takes the bread, he lifts them to heaven. And then he breaks them, gives them to the 12. But in the meantime, he's got them to sit down and group, got them to organize the people. 5,000 men, plus maybe ladies and children. We don't know the numbers. It just says 5,000 men. We don't know the numbers. All of these people sitting down in groups of 100. This one gospel says, Mark says, but in Luke he said groups of 50. I want to tell you, my friends, we might need to meet in groups of 50 for a while. We may need to meet in groups of 25 for a while, whatever the case might be. But I want to tell you, my friends, the kingdom of God will not be limited. It'll only be limited in our thinking. It'll only be limited as the limits of our natural thinking try to put the confines around what we do. But I want to tell you this, reliant on miracles than we ever have been probably in our natural lifetime. And the kingdom of God is not limited. And Jesus is about to open their minds to a greater dimension than the dimension they're currently caught up in. And if there was ever a time the church needs its mind to be opened up to the greater dimension of the kingdom of God than we've been limited to, now is the time. He began to teach them many things. So they sat down in ranks in 50 and 100, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he broke them and gave them to them, and they all ate and were filled. Repeat after me. They all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Did that open their minds? Did that shift their thinking? Apparently not. Because we go straight into Mark chapter 6. Verse 45 would lead straight on. And immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before them to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. So the guys went off in the boat for Bethsaida. He stayed behind, dealt with the crowd, and then he was going to come later. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, or the middle of that whole big lake. And he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Oh, they're straining. We'll see you there when you get there, guys. They thought he was a ghost. Thought he was a water spirit. Fishermen understood that. Verse 49, when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 51, then he went up into the boat to them and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Here's two instances. One back for a very needy crowd. And the other was a situation where their headway to reach the destination they were told to get to was feeling like it was becoming almost impossible with the headwinds that were against them, the adversity which was against them. They were straining at the oars. I want to tell you, my friends, there's only so long you can strain at the oars before you become tired, you start to feel defeated, and then you start to give up, and then you just get blown wherever that wind is wanting to take you. Both of these situations were circumstances that had overcome their thinking. And in the midst of this, Jesus uses these two situations to reveal to them a greater dimension of kingdom reality that was right present with them, that way and above superseded any of the natural situations. Provide for the team. And then the next, on that same day, Jesus demonstrating complete sovereignty, complete dominion over the natural realm, and causing them that which was adverse and that which was causing them to struggle and strain to completely dissipate. I wonder how many other times Jesus had to do things that would cause their minds to be unshackled from the limitations of this earthly situation, to realize there was actually the presence of the king, the presence of the kingdom of God that was with them and for them, that could actually do something that the mind would not normally be able to comprehend. I want to tell you, my friends, we've come into no limitation. But if we can allow ourselves to be unshackled from only thinking the way this world operates, to understanding that the presence of the King himself is with us and for us, and his power is toward us because we believe, we will not be bound by the limited thinking of this age and this world. The church does not need, the world rather, does not need a church that is bound by natural limited thinking. In fact, the world's full of it. What the world needs are people who are connected into the realm of the kingdom, who realize that the presence and power of God is toward them and for them, that we're not limited to the natural laws of this world. We use them, we operate with them, but we're not limited to them. We have a miraculous power, sit and imbibe it. We have the power of our prayer. We have the power of our communication with our Heavenly Father, which supersedes all other natural communication, because we're communicating heart to heart with the Creator of the universe. I want to tell you, God will work in these situations, in these circumstances, to unshackle us from the limitations of this natural world and our natural thinking. And if there's ever a time when he's doing it, it's now. Let's all stand. If there was ever a time when he's wanting to unshackle us, it's now. Amen? We are miraculous people. Every one of you who is born again is a miracle. You're a miracle of his grace. You're a miracle of his kindness. You're a miracle of the blood of Jesus. You're a miracle. And so let's be unshackled from just being bound by the natural thinking of this realm, and allow ourselves to be lifted and empowered by the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your grace. Thank you for the people in the overflow room today. We just want to thank you, Father, for your power and your grace that's toward us because we believe. Lord, we thank you. Your word calls it incomparably great power. Father, I thank you for what you've made available to us. Thank you. You've given us the spirit of the overcomer. You've given us the spirit that rises up over things that try and crush us. Lord, we thank you. There may be perplexity, but we're not crushed. We may be bruised, but we're not broken. Father, we thank you. We may be downcast at times, but we're not cast out, because your presence is with us. Your power is with us. Lord, I pray like those first disciples. Lord, as they saw these things unfold before them, Lord, these circumstances we're in now are temporary. Lord, with these things, we will not be stuck in them. They're things we will pass through, but we will not be stuck here forever. We want to thank you, Lord, that there is a returning King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus is his name. And we thank you, Lord, there's going to be an eternal government on this earth in fullness. And Lord, we thank you that we get to taste of the powers of the age to come. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your power that's with us today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you've never received Christ, you've never received him and welcomed him into your life, then now is the time to do that. Let's pray together. Let's all just pray together across the place. Pray together with me online in the overflow. Just let's all pray together now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your kindness in providing the sacrifice that was needed for our sins. I receive you. You're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. I put my trust in you. I receive you into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sin. And I trust you, Lord, to help me and to guide me. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you, everybody.